Good to see you, and we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you have come to fellowship with us today. It's good to be back in the pulpit with you. Got to be back with you last week, but Heather and I were gone for a few weeks, just vacationing, relaxing, taking it easy. But I'm excited as we continue on in our group of messages talking about I am a church member. And this Sunday morning, we're going to continue on talking about how that as leaders of our families, we have a responsibility as mothers and fathers, or as guardians of the people that we love, to teach our family how to be healthy church members. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. How we teach our family how to be healthy church members. If you would, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Paul, in his writing to the church of Ephesus, gave an example and compared the family to the church. And I think it's an interesting example as we talk about being a healthy family and being a healthy church member. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, I want to begin in verse 29, and we're going to carry over from chapter 5 into chapter 6, reading through verse 4. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, and then reading on over into Ephesians 6, verse 4. I'd ask if you would please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. He says it this way. He says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does for the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, I thank you so much for the gift of our children's ministry. I thank you for Bethany and Andre who have worked this week so diligently in preparing the part of the service that we've celebrated in this morning. And it has been a blessing to my heart. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who has participated and helped prepare this, Lord. I pray that you just have given them a wonderful blessing. And Lord, I uplift our children, Lord, who have had this opportunity to come forward this morning and take a part in our services. Lord, I pray that they see just how much of a blessing that they have been to us, Lord, and that they have been used in a mighty way to glorify you today. Lord, Father, I'd ask and pray that today you would teach us and help instruct us, Lord, about how it is that we, as the parents and as the guardians of our families, that we teach those that we love in our home to be healthy church members. Lord, I would pray, Father, that this would be the heart's desire of not just a few, but all of us as believers, Lord, that it would be our desire for our families to be the family that you want us to be, the family that you have set aside instruction for in your holy word. Lord, I pray, Father, for those here today who may be struggling. Lord, I pray for those who may need an upliftment. I know many, Lord, who are suffering from loss, many who are suffering through tragedy, many suffering through illness. And Lord, we just want to uplift and pray for them today. Lord, we pray for our church as a whole, Lord, that you would just make us the body of believers that you would want us to be, that you would continue to grow us, not only in numbers, but in Christian spiritual maturity as well. Lord, Father, I would ask today, most importantly, if there is somebody here who has never known you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, I pray before it's everlasting too late, they'll come give their heart and their life to you and that they would be saved. Lord, I'd ask today that you forgive me of my many shortcomings, for Lord, I know that they are many, but I would just ask that today, Father, you would use me in a mighty way, that Lord, you would use me as your mouthpiece and as your tool to share the message you've laid upon my heart. Lord, it's all this we ask in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. As the leaders of our families, if we're going to be good church members, I believe it's important that as leaders of our families, we teach our family members and those that we love how to be healthy church members. I've shared this with you before. I shared a little bit about this last week with you when I mentioned at the beginning of the message about how I had a grandmother who prayed for me diligently. My father's mother, she's still living, blessed to still have her in my life, but I can think back to being a young man, a child, how that my grandmother would tell me that she prayed for me. And I didn't always understand that being as young as I was, but as I got older and when I gave my life to the Lord, I remember how my grandmother explained to me that all of those years that she was praying for me growing up was a prayer that I would give my life to the Lord. And I can't tell you how blessed I am to have had somebody like that in my life. And then I can think about growing up in a home where I had a father who taught me about the importance of being active in the church. In my home and in my family that I grew up in, church was a priority. I'll never forget some of the lessons that my father taught me as a young man. You know, my dad taught me things that maybe some of you may take for granted or not really think much about, but my father taught me how to pray. My father taught me about how to pray in church. My father taught me about serving the church and the importance of serving the widows and serving those who are in need. And that's just what my father did. He expected that I was going to learn those things. And I am blessed to have grown up in a home where I had a father and a mother who saw a priority in helping me, not just to be saved, not just to give my life to the Lord, but then who taught me how to be a healthy church member. As moms, as dads, as guardians, you may be caring for people in your family that aren't your biological children. They may be your grandchildren, they may be your nieces and nephews, they may be extended family members, they may be your adopted children. It does not matter. You, as a parent or guardian of your home, you have that responsibility of teaching these people that you care for how to be healthy church members. So how do we do that? Where do we begin? I've already alluded to it a little bit already, but I believe if we're going to help our family members and our loved ones to be healthy church members, I believe it begins with prayer. I believe that we ought to pray together as a family. How many of you grew up in your home praying together as a family? I did. That was a part of my life. And as I get older and as I grow in ministry, I learn the more and more I interact is that a lot of young people today, a lot of people my age, are not blessed to have grown up in a home where family prayer was something that was taught. It wasn't something that was an emphasis in the home. And I'm burdened for those that don't have that type of upbringing. I really am. Because prayer in the family, prayer in the home is vital. Amen? Prayer is a strong foundation. You know, prayer is where we begin in speaking to the Lord. You know, prayer is our ability to talk to God. And we can tell God anything. The burdens of our hearts, the things that just burden us, the things that we need help with, the things that we need guidance in, the things in life that we don't know the answers to. We can take all of those things and we can lay them at the feet of God and we can ask God to help us with those things and to guide us and to give us instruction. And there's moments in our life where even when we don't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit can help us pray to God and send up our prayers to Him. Prayer is a vitally important thing. And I believe praying as a family is essential in being healthy church members. What do we pray for? I believe one of the greatest things that we can pray for as a family is the church. You know, last week I spent a lot of time talking about how that as a healthy church member, it's my desire for you that you pray for me as your pastor, that you pray for our church leaders. And we talked about a lot of different reasons as to why you should want to pray for me as your pastor and pray for your church leaders. Well, it's much the same as why we pray for the church. One of the greatest reasons that we choose to pray for the church and to teach our family members to pray for the church is because we love the church. Amen? I don't know about you, but I love the church. I love the church and I love what it stands for. Why? Because the church is the very body of Christ. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Biblically speaking, spiritually speaking, the church is a part of the body of Christ. Why? Because it is us, we the people, we the members, we make up the church. And we as the children and the followers of God, we are a part of Him. This is God's kingdom here on this earth. The church is a beautiful thing. But over the years, I've heard a lot of people say, I love Jesus, I love the Lord, but I don't love the church. The church is a very negative place. The church is full of hypocrites. The church is full of people who hurt your feelings. The church is full of people who say one thing and do another. I've heard a lot of people say that over the years. How many of you have ever felt that way about the church? Yeah, not enough of you are raising your hands. At one point in time, I can guarantee you, if you've been in church long enough, you probably thought, man, I really don't like what church has become or what church is about. I want to tell you something. I love the church. The church is made up of God's people. I love God's people. Why? Because He first loved me. That's why. When we come together as a family and we pray for the church, we pray for the church because we love it. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 4 and 6, he says it this way. Paul speaking about the church. He says, there is one body and one spirit. He says, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Isn't that beautiful? We have one God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. When we look at the church, we're talking about Christ and God the Father and His holy presence being in the church. The church is something that is worth loving, because when we look at the church, we are seeing that it is one group, one body of believers in one mind and in one spirit through Him in all things. That is why we love the church. Now, the church is made up of a lot of people. We don't always get along in our families, do we? Amen?
Amen.
That's right, amen. You know, it's funny sometimes how when you grow up, you fight and you fuss with your siblings, but then when somebody else picks on them, it's another story, right? You're ready to fight them. It's kind of like I've heard recently, you wouldn't loan your sibling your phone charger. Young people, you can relate to this. You wouldn't loan your siblings your phone charger, but you'd give them your kidney if they needed it, right? It's weird how that relationship works. But that's a new modern way of trying to say that, I guess. In the family, we don't always get along. We get on each other's nerves sometimes. The church is not so different. We get on each other's nerves sometimes, but we love one another. Why? Because the church is the very presence of Christ here on this earth. He is in the church in all ways, and because of that, we love the church. But why else do we pray for the church? We pray for the church because, like I ask you to pray for me, because you love me as your pastor, I also ask you to pray for the church because the role of the church is vital. The role of the church is vital. The church is meant to be a place for those in need. The church is meant to be a place for those who need God. The church is a place where we can come and we can praise Him, we can honor Him, we can worship Him. The church is a place where we can come and serve. The church is a place where at one point in time in this nation and in other parts of the world, the church was a place that was more than just a symbol. The church was a place that really meant something in teaching. It meant something in life. Now, nowadays, the church has really become more of a symbolic thing. And I think that's sad. The church should be something that really means something to us. Why? Because the role of the church is vital. I think about Christ when He gave one of His very last instructions to His disciples before He ascended into heaven. You know, He told them to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, teaching and preaching the gospel, baptizing them into the fellowship of the church, and then teaching them all things, He said, as I have instructed you. So Christ gave a commandment to His disciples that they go forward, that they see people saved, and then that they would what? Bring them into the fellowship of the church. You see, in the early church, that was where you came to learn. It's where you came to seek instruction. I know we've got a lot of places of higher education today, but I want to tell you where our instruction really should begin in home. It should begin in God's Word. It should begin in His Word. I believe we'll have better families, we have a better nation, if we began with that. The role of the church is vital. We pray for the church because of its role. We pray for the church because we love the church for what it stands for and what it is. But I believe if we're going to lead our families into being healthy church members, not only do we teach the family how to pray together, but I believe we also teach the family how to worship together. One of the saddest things that I see as a pastor is families who do not worship together. We see the kids who come to church and they worship, but mom and dad aren't there to worship with them. I grew up in a home where my mother and my father taught me how to worship. My pastor didn't teach me how to worship. My friends didn't have to teach me how to worship. My mother and my father taught me how to worship. Moms and dads, that is your role, biblically, to teach your children how to worship an Almighty God. And if you're not doing it, shame on you. I love you, but shame on you. You've got a role and a responsibility that's as vitally important as anything in all this world. Of all of the things that you could teach your children, teaching your children how to worship an Almighty God is the most important thing that you could ever do, because the souls of your children will last for all eternity. Teaching your children how to worship God and to have a relationship with Him is the greatest thing that you can ever do for the people that you love. I think about Paul in his writings, the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Even early on in the life of the church, there was an issue within just the first 100 years of the church. There was an issue with those who believed not really wanting to be steadfast in church. Paul addresses some of these issues. He says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus," he says, "by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Paul says we have this great ability to come to Christ, to enter the most holy place, because of what Christ has done, because He gave His life for us. We don't have to have a priest anymore like we did in the Old Testament. There doesn't have to be a sacrifice of an animal that the priest then takes into the most holy of holy places for us to have remission of sin. Paul tells us here that Christ came and He gave His life for us. And because of that, church is a wonderful thing. And because of that, worship is a wonderful thing. And Paul finishes up by saying, do not neglect the coming together as worshipers, as some people are already doing. In the first 100 years of the church, people were already seeing or beginning to think that church wasn't as important as it really should be. I'm telling you, church is important. For the things that are taught, for the God that we serve and worship, church is important. We think, you know, I love the Lord, therefore I'm okay. You know, I love Christ, therefore I'm okay. I don't have to serve. I don't have to attend. I don't have to be plugged in to a church. Yes, you can love the Lord and probably not come to church. But I tell you this, if you love the Lord, you'll want to come to church. I don't know any other way to say it. Makes people upset. Makes people upset when you tell them that they need to come to church and you're not doing it enough. I'm not telling you because I feel like it's just important for you. I'm telling you because the Word of God says it's important. The Word of God means something to me. And as your pastor, that's why I tell you that worship is important. As moms, as dads, and parents, as parents and guardians, worship should be important in your family. Praying for the church together should be important to your family. The last thing I want you to see that we as moms and dads, as parents and guardians can do to help make our families healthy church members is not just praying together, not just worshiping together, but it's loving the whole church. Loving the whole church and teaching your family to do the same. Seems like over the years we have picked out the things that we love about church. We picked out the things about God that we like the best. And then the things that we don't like the best, or the things that offend us, or the things that we don't agree with personally, we cut and we remove those things away from the church or the Word of God or His teaching, and we just focus on the things that make us feel good or make us feel happy or that we want to hear. How sad is that? How sad is that? Paul told Timothy, he says, one day there will come a time when people will cut away with a paring knife, is basically how he described it. He says they'll take a paring knife and they'll cut away the things from the Word of God that they do not want to hear. And they'll only want to hear the things that make them feel good. Now, Paul wrote that to Timothy over 2,000 years ago. And I believe the longer that things continue on in the way that they are, we're going to see that Paul was really telling Timothy the truth. We're living in a day and age where people don't want to hear what the true Word of God is. People don't want to hear that you need to come to church. People don't want to hear that you need to worship. People don't want to hear that sin is sin and that sin is wrong and that sin should be confessed before God so that you can have remission. People don't want to hear that. People want to hear what is politically correct. People want to hear what makes them feel good. People want to hear things that don't stress them out, but rather they want to hear that God is all about prosperity. You have a lot of people preach prosperity. They don't want to preach about sin. Why? Because sin makes us uncomfortable. But prosperity makes us feel good. That's not life. Church, we live in a day, we live in an age where too many of us pick and choose what we love about God and what we love about the church. You want to have a healthy family? Teach your family how to love the whole church. Teach your family how to love God in His entirety. Everything about Him. Teach your children how to love the whole Word of God as God gives it to us. Teach your children how to love the whole church for all of its members. How easy is it sometimes for us to choose who we want to love in the church? I don't want to love so-and-so because they're kind of mean. I don't want to love so-and-so because they say things that hurt my feelings. I don't want to really love so-and-so because they don't always like to go along with the things that I suggest. Remember how I told you earlier that church is full of people, like our families, who annoy us and who bother us and who get on our nerves. Over the years in ministry, I have had so many people who have bothered me so immensely with their negativity and the way that they think, and they're always naysayers. And at times I thought, man, I wish they would go somewhere else, and then I felt guilty because it would just be some other pastor's problem. You know? I say, dear Lord, forgive me for that. It doesn't bother me now nearly as bad as it used to. I've learned to pray more and probably should take medication. But so far, the Lord's teaching me not to let those things bother me near as much, because I'm learning that I have to, like I love God in His entirety, like I love the church in its entirety, I have to love all members in their entirety. And sometimes that means even those who are as you've heard me say this before, EGR. What's that mean? Sometimes it takes extra grace required to love some people. They're difficult to love. But we still have to love them, do we not? Why? Because Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he said, "But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, we make our love a lot of times very conditional. We want to love God conditionally. As long as everything is great, I can love God. I can love God on the mountain. I can love God when things are good. But I can't love God when things are difficult in my life. We make our love conditional. Sometimes with our family members, I can love those family members when life is good, when they're not getting on my nerves. We can love our brothers and sisters in Christ when things are going well, we're all getting along, but it's conditional. If they get on my nerves too much, I don't love them near as much, or maybe I wouldn't love them at all. We become very conditional in our love and how we love. But I want you to see this. God showed His love for us. How did God show His love for us? He gave His only Son. God showed His love for us when He gave His only Son. His only Son came and walked this earth as man. And He gave of His life on a cross, and on that cross He literally became sin for you and I. God showed His love for us, and He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. And He did that while we were still sinners. What does that mean? What's the importance and the emphasis of that? It means that God loved us unconditionally. I say it again, God loved us unconditionally. We didn't have to change. We didn't have to be better. God didn't say, "I'll give my Son for you if you will be a better person." He didn't say, "I'll give my Son for you if you will be the society and the people that I want you to be." It wasn't like that. God gave His Son so that if we believe and trust in Him, that we might be saved. And God knew that there was no other way unless He first gave His Son unconditionally. And that means that anybody can be saved. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be elect. Anybody. If you're a sinner, if you never invited Christ into your heart, that means you. You can be saved today unconditionally. It means you don't have to straighten your life out. It means you don't have to make things better first. It doesn't mean that you have to try to clean yourself up in order to present yourself before God. God gave of His only Son, and He shed His blood for the remission of your sins. And if you'll come trust and believe in Him today, you can be saved unconditionally. We want to be the parents and the guardians that we need to be to teach our family how to be healthy church members, and we need to teach our family how to love God, the church, all of His people, the lost. We need to teach them how to love unconditionally as God loved us unconditionally. We need to teach them how to worship. We need to teach them how to pray. So our praise and our worship team comes. This is your opportunity. This is the time in the service where we go away from the preaching and now we come to a time of response. This is the time in the service where if God is working on your heart, maybe you're here and you've never known Christ, never invited Him into your heart and your life. You've never been saved. Well, I would ask of you today, and I would tell you this, God loves you unconditionally, and I would ask of you today, if you believe in your heart that Christ is the Son of God, that God gave His Son for you, if you believe that and you're willing to admit that you're a sinner in need of His saving grace, if you would come today, you can be saved unconditionally. Regardless of your age, it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter the in-between. If you've never been saved, God loves you unconditionally and you can be saved today. Maybe you're here and you have a relationship with Him. Maybe you're here as a mother or a father, a guardian, and you're raising a family, raising people that you care about. Maybe you need the strength to help you to be the guardian, the mom, the dad that God wants you to be. To teach your children and those that you love how to pray and to pray for the church. To teach your children and the ones that you love how to worship Him. To teach your children how to love God and the church and His people and the lost unconditionally. It's difficult. Being a mom, a dad, a guardian is hard. And teaching them those things in this world is immensely difficult. But I tell you this, if you come and you ask God for strength and for guidance, He'll give it to you. Because that's the God that we serve. However God is working on your heart today, would you not come and respond? I'll be here. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to share with you how you might be saved. I'd love to share with you in a prayer for strength and guidance. God's here and God is listening. You respond today. Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, as we come to this time of response, Lord, my most earnest prayer is that if there's somebody here who's never known You, Lord, I pray that today they come to know Your unconditional love and that they would be saved while they're still yet a sinner, that they would come and be saved. Lord, I pray for others who may need Your leadership and Your guidance today. Lord, I pray that they will come. Lord, I pray that this altar might just be filled with those who have burdened hearts. Lord, for those who want to make worship a priority in their home, for those who want to make prayer a priority in their home, for those who want to make unconditional love a priority in their home, Lord, I ask that You lead them to come. Father, this altar is a place where hearts and lives can be changed. I pray Your Spirit is already beginning to work upon those hearts. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen.